Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Tell you what, I've been just this enjoying reading the stories and the things about Jesus. How many love Jesus? I mean, I like the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I love listening and hearing the Word of God, and I just want to kind of talk about Jesus today. Is that right? I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I think the Apostle Paul says something like, man, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to preach anything but Jesus and Him crucified. Amen? Let me read that to you. As a matter of fact, I probably should show that to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I think it's verse 2. Huh. These guys will get it up before I get it up there, man. You guys are professionals back there in the booth. And I beat him. Praise God. Yeah. Verse 2 says, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Is that right? Come on, man. It's coming up. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Can I tell you the focus of everything that we do is Jesus? Amen? Come on, man. If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be here. And if it wasn't for Jesus, you wouldn't be here. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. I asked John, what would you be doing the other day? Didn't I? I asked Pastor John, what would you be doing if Jesus hadn't touched your life? And he said, well, I'd probably be in a bar somewhere. Is that right? Wife. No, like me, I would have been wifeless. Yeah. Lifeless and wifeless. Same thing. Every good man needs a wife. Amen. How many say amen to that? Every good man needs a wife. Amen. If you find a wife, you found a what? Good thing. Yeah, it's a good thing. I found a good thing. And praise God, man. If it wasn't for Jesus, if it wasn't for Him, hallelujah, I would not have this burden on my heart to touch my city. Wouldn't have this burden on my heart to see teenagers come into the church, and wouldn't have this burden on my heart to see people saved and healed and baptized in the Holy Ghost, and we're going out into the city. And I believe, folks, that this city is a choice city for God. I believe God has chosen this city to be a city of the kingdom of God. How many of you know that? He's spoken things to me that just are that way. That's just the way it feels. So, and I believe God is going to touch our city in a mighty way. I believe there is an unexplainable kind of a watering going to happen in our city. I believe it. I just believe it. Hallelujah. I can see it. I can see it happening. I can see it happening. Glory to God. Can I tell you, if we don't do things for children, if we don't do things for kids, we'll lose everything. Do you know that? How many know that? It is the generation that's coming up that we need to say, hey, man, we need to be concerned about the generation that would be coming behind us. Amen? Hallelujah. We absolutely have to be concerned. Absolutely. So, yeah. Putting on things like vacation Bible school, putting on things like ball festival and the splash takes a lot of work, takes a lot of teamwork and help, and takes a lot. And but let me tell you something, it's profitable. It's just one. If just one comes, it's profitable. Amen? How many know that? If one child comes and one young adult comes and sees what's going on and say, man, I want to give my life to Jesus. Come on, man. Is that worth it?
Yes.
Oh, you bet. Is it worth all the work?
Yes.
Is it worth it?
Yes.
It's absolutely worth it. Come on. Hallelujah. That's why I'm so jazzed about these guys being here. I saw them yesterday. They saw me yesterday. And I said, hey, I gave them my stern for I gave you guys my stern face, huh? You guys are going to be in church tomorrow, right? Oh, yes, sir. Come on, man. Yeah. Praise God, man. Yeah. I ain't got no stern face. Even my kids, even my grandkids, they're like, shuck, tata, never mind. I ain't no stern face. Yeah, it is. Hallelujah. Hey, well, I want to talk about Jesus this morning. Amen. How many like to hear talk about Jesus? Oh, man. The name of if you look on your bulletin, the name of the sermon, our title is called Own It. Own It. Everybody say own it. How many own your own car? How many are making payments on it? Yeah, there's a difference. How many of you guys know that yet? You either own it or you don't own it. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Own it. How many own your shoes? That should be everybody in the house. Raise your hand if you own your shoes. They're mine. These are my shoes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Own it. How many like owning things? How many like having that ownership where you don't have to be paying any more payments on it? I remember when, you know, well, I can hardly remember, but it's been so long ago, when we paid our property off and our house off, and now we look at each other, we own it now. We were a joint, we had some kind of a joint, not custody, but it was a joint ownership with some people. And then when we paid for our price, man, they gave it all to us. Such a good thing. It's good to own things. How many know that it's good to own it for yourself? This is mine. How many have owned Jesus for yourself? Can I tell you, he's mine. He's mine. No, he's not yours. He's mine. Yeah, come on, man. He don't belong to you. He belongs to me. Yeah, come on. No. Got to own it. And I want to bring up the power verse for today. It's Proverbs 23:23. If you could put that up. The word of God says, buy the truth, sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Buy the truth. You can go down to Walmart and you can buy a pair of socks. Amen? You can go down there and you can buy yourself some cleaning products around the house. You can go down to Walmart and you can buy yourself some shoes down at Walmart. Is that right? But how do you buy the truth? How do you purchase truth? How does that happen? Bring up the next scripture. The word of God says this in Isaiah 55. It says this. Ho! How many? Everybody say ho. Ho! Ho! That's the way to say ho, man, right there. Ho! It says, everyone that is thirsty. How many are thirsty? Yeah, come on, man. He that is thirsty, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money. See that? Notice it says no money. How are you going to buy with no money? Here's the word of God is telling you something here. It says, buy, come with no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Buying it without money and without price. How does that happen? Wherefore do you spend money? Everybody say money. How many like money? Yeah. There's only a few, but these guys like money. There's only a few that like money. How many know that money is good? How many know that if you use it right? Yeah. How many? It's the love of money that is kind of bad. Isn't that right? The Bible says it's the love of money. It's not money. Money is a tool. How many know that? You use it to buy. Is that? So you guys like money? Yeah, cool. Yeah, bring some. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Hallelujah. Hey, it says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Here's how he tells you how to buy. Hearken diligently to me. That word hearken means what? Listen diligently to me and eat that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. How many of you guys want to be fat? Come on, man. Let your soul be fat. Amen. It is a chubbiness of the word of God. How do you say that? Yeah, come on. How many of you will stay slim, but we'll get chubby on the inside? Amen. Come on. Come on. The fatness. Hallelujah. Incline your ear. That's another word of what? Listening. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall do what? It's going to live. Praise God. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. So he says, hear, hearken, listen, bow down your ear. That's how you buy. Is that right? It says, buy the truth. Buy the truth. Hallelujah. I love this. Buy the truth. The word in Hebrew, buy, is kana. It's spelled Q-U-A-N-A-H. This is the Hebrew word for buy. And it means to procure by purchase or to own. Procure by purchase. The word of God just told you how to buy wisdom and understanding and the truth is by listening. Is that right? So I'm going to say, lean forward. Everybody lean forward. Just one time. Everybody lean forward. Okay, you can lean back now. A little exercise in leaning forward. Let your spirit lean forward and listen to what's being said this morning. Is that okay? That way you can buy some truth. Is that cool? Is that cool? Buy some truth this morning. We're going to talk about Jesus. He is what truth is. Amen? Hallelujah. The name Jesus, he is truth. Trying to see what my note said. I couldn't understand what it said. Anybody ever done that? Made a note and you can read it? Man, that's what I just got through. I got through happening, man. I said, what did I put here? I said, I put on my note, I said, I asked Siri what truth was. I said, you know what? I'm going to find out from the head knowledge of today's world. How many know that? If you don't know anything, just go ask Siri. What's the other lady's name? Alexa. Siri and Alexa, they fight. Did you guys know that? I'm better. No, you're better. No. Siri, and I asked Siri, what is truth? This is what she told me. Truth. What is in accord with fact or reality? That's what she said truth was. What is in accord with fact or reality? Can I tell you something that truth has nothing to do with fact? Can I say that to you? Truth has nothing to do with fact. Truth is truth. Truth stands on its own. Is that right? Exactly. Truth is powerful. Do you know that? Truth is powerful. It's passionate. It's without moderation. Do you guys know what moderation is? What's moderation? Moderation is when you're going down the freeway at 85 miles an hour and you see a police car in front of you, you begin to moderate that thing. Is that right? You pick your pedal, you pick your foot up, man. See, that car is under moderation. Is that right? You can go fast, you can go slow, but that's not the way truth is. Truth is full force all the time. Do you know that? It's either all true or it's not true at all. Is that right? The world is filled with half-truths. Partial truths. But man, I'll tell you something. Truth is not like that. Truth is full force all the time. Did you know that truth does not show? What's that word I'm looking for? Truth does not show or reveal the nature of man. Do you know that? Truth never does reveal the nature of man. You know why? Because it varies so much. The nature of man is so variable. Is that right? People believe this. People believe that. People believe this. I believe that. I think this is truth. This is truth. This is truth. Nobody knows what truth is. Truth doesn't reveal the nature of man. Never has and never will. Truth only reveals the nature of God. Only. That's what truth does. Truth is. Jesus said it this way, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Truth. What is truth? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Since Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I want to turn to one of my favorite passages is John chapter 8. We're going to look at John chapter 8 this morning. I love this because how many of you know that there was a confrontation going on? Can I tell you that when man tries to debate God, it's not a win-win situation. How many know that? Try to debate God, you're going to lose. Period. You're just going to lose. You just don't have enough information. Is that right? We got a story here of some people, some men, some Jewish leaders, some Pharisees that go in to try to discredit Jesus because he's been going around, he's been healing folks. He stepped in into where they call it the Pool of Siloam, and he saw a man that had been there 38 years, and he looks around. And he says, well, that guy's been here the longest. I don't want a rookie in here that was only been here a week. I want somebody that's been here a long time. And he goes and he asks him, hey, man, how long you been here? He says, I've been here a long time. And he says, why aren't you healed? You? And the man says, every time I try to get up and go into the pool, when the waters are moved by the angels, somebody beats me and I never get a chance to get in there. So Jesus says, hey, do you want to be healed? And the man says, of course. So Jesus, rise up, pick up your bed and walk. He tells him to get out and pick up your bed and go home. Man picks up his bed and goes home, and the Pharisees and the Jews, hey, you can't carry your bed. What's wrong with you? It's a Sabbath day. Two things. They didn't like Jesus telling that, didn't like the miracle, then they didn't like Jesus telling him to pick up his bed and carry it on the Sabbath day. See, Jesus is going to, he's going to rock your religious world. How many know that? God's not, Jesus ain't religious. I mean, I had people at work tell me, man, are you religious? You know, I said, I ain't religious. You're religious. I said, do you ever go to church? Yeah. Christmas and Easter. Yeah, see, that's religion. That's religion right there. See, I love God. I will be in his house as much as I can whenever I can because I know that I will hear things that he's trying to say to the earth. And so that's why I'm not religious at all. I just love God. How many say amen to that? Amen. Do you love God? Amen. Are you willing to do what he asks you to do? I didn't hear a lot of answer on that one. But that's okay. We'll work on that. Come on, man. Hallelujah. So here's the day that Jesus goes in and he's confronted by, while he's teaching, he's confronted by some religious leaders. And they draw a crowd. How many know when there's a debate going on, they want a crowd. So they're drawing a crowd while they go to talk with Jesus. Jesus, like I said, he healed on the Sabbath day. He had been doing some things that they were very uncomfortable. They had even decided, hey, first chance we get, we're going to try, we'll kill him. We'll kill him. And so here's the confrontation that begins to happen. So, I'm sorry, let me get there. John chapter 8. Father, I thank you for your word, God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord. God, as we're discussing truth, Lord, Father, as we read through these scriptures, Father, let your children, let your people be sprinkled with truth this morning. Let that truth sink deep into their spirit, Lord, into their soul, Lord, that they might know that they know that they know these things that you are saying this morning. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, he came again to the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? Talk about setting somebody up. Amen. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. I like this story. I like Jesus. I like the way he handles himself. If you just start reading the gospel, just look and see how the Lord handles himself with people. And I just love it. They ask him this question, and right away he starts. He gets down on the ground and just starts writing. And I don't believe he was writing names. Well, Dennis over there has done this. Danny over there has done this. Steve there has done this. I don't believe he was writing names. I believe because it says he wrote with his finger. When Moses was on the mountain, the Bible says that God gave him the Ten Commandments written by the finger of God. I believe he was writing the Ten Commandments. I believe that's what he was writing on that ground that morning. And when he had got done, he looked up and he said, He that's without sin, let him first cast a stone at her. And I believe those guys were over there looking to see what he wrote. And they go, oop. And they said they had their rocks. They had rocks in hand, ready to stone this woman, because the law of Moses said that's what you're supposed to do. But see, let me tell you, a new law, a new judge, a new system is in town. Come on, his name is what? Jesus. Here he is, man. And he says, there are you that have... So they said, one by one, they began dropping their rocks. Clunk! Disappearing act. Amen? Oh. He might expose me. He was already exposing. How many of you say that? Because the word of God says that they were touched in their conscience. He was already exposing them. So right away, starting from the oldest to the youngest. Why would that be? Why would the older guys drop their rocks before the younger guys? Come on, man. Okay, well, yeah. You can be honest. Because, man, hey, when we get old, we say, man, I've done a lot of dumb things. Amen? Come on, man. I would look at that list and say, whoop, I'm out of here, man. Let's get out of here. Starting from the oldest to the youngest, they begin dropping their rocks. And he stooped down again and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, there's that word. Conscience, by the way, is an action of your spirit, of a man's spirit. God has placed a spirit in every man. And conscience is one of the actions that the spirit works on people with. Do you know that? Conscience, you have intuition in the spirit. You have conscience, intuition. You guys know what intuition is? It's that thing that mom knows everything. Is that right? Yeah. You think you're hiding, but mom knows. Yeah, no, you're not hiding. Yeah, I want you guys to remember that. Yeah. Mom knows everything. Kind of a mom has this intuition thing. And then the other thing that is, you got intuition, you got conscience, and the other thing that's housed in your spirit is this thing called communion. That is the place where you can commune with God. When you are unsaved, the most prominent thing working in your life is conscience through the spirit. God is saying things, no, that's not right. No, that's not right. You need to quit doing that. No, you need to quit saying that. No, you stop. That's the conscience. These guys, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now we are going through this thing for kind of a look at truth. Okay, so here's when Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman, and he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn thee." It was very important that we see that Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee." Because in the midst of that, he said, "He that is without sin, throw the first rock." There's only one that could have thrown the rock. Is that right? It was Jesus himself. And he says, "Neither do I condemn thee." This is the truth, folks. This is the truth. Can I tell you, God, Jesus is not trying to condemn you. Do you know that? He is not trying to make you feel bad about what you've done, where you've been, about your past. He's not trying to do that with you. He wants you released. He wants you free. We'll see that. Come on. Hallelujah. So he said, "There's no man condemn thee, neither do I condemn thee." And then he says this, "Go and sin no more." This is going to bust your religious attitude, bro. Go and sin no more. You see, for some reason, even in churches today, we are taught that we've got to confess our sin, confess your sin. Every Sunday, you go in and you confess your sin, you confess your sin. I was in the Catholic Church. Every Friday night, they wanted me in confessional, confessing my sins. You see, Jesus only died once, and he's not going to die again. He paid for the sins of the whole world. Do you hear that? He paid for those things. They're paid. They're a done deal. We are now under an open heaven. You've got free access to God if you will just acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's all you've got to do. Lord, I accept you into my life. Come and live with me. Take me as your child. Amen? Come on, man. How many said that prayer? Three. Okay. Praise God. I'm kidding you. Praise God. Jesus says this, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." See, we've been taught that we've got to sin, that we can't quit sinning. I will tell you that the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, will help you to quit doing what you're doing. When he says, "Go and sin no more," that is not this lofty dream that you can't never attend to. It's a reality. When he says, "Go and sin no more," he says, it's very possible for you to do that. Some of you may think that you can't quit. You can't stop. I can't quit doing what I'm doing. I can't. Oh, yes, you can. God, by his spirit, will help you to stop whatever it is that's contrary to his nature that's going on in your life, because he wants to build his nature within you. And as he builds his nature within you, you're going to find those things popping off of you. Isn't that cool? That's good. Ooh, that's good preaching, Henry. Come on, man. That's right. It's the truth. See, these are truths. See, we are in the midst of truth. We're looking in the midst of some truths here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 12 says, then spoke Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That word, he is the light of life. Sorry, did I do that? He is the light of light. If you accept him, you will not walk in darkness. The darkness we think, some of you might think is just when the sun goes down, but it's not darkness. Darkness is the things that you don't know about God that you wish you could find out. That's where God once says, I will help you in those things. I will show you things that you don't know. Some of you want to say, I don't know what's going on in my life. And Lord, I don't know what you want me to do. Can I tell you something? He will shine a light for you. So you've got a path. The word of God says that he is a light under your path and a lamp under your feet. Is that right? Come on. He shows you what he has for you. You're not any longer in darkness. So these are truths. This is another truth. See, can I tell you, everything that comes out of Jesus' mouth is truth, because truth can't give anything else but truth. How many know that? You can't do it. You can't. So just remember that. Take that and hold on to that, that Jesus, when he's speaking, he's talking truth. He's speaking things. Hallelujah. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear record of yourself. Your record is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know from where I came and where I'm going. But you cannot tell whence I come or whither I go. You judge after the flesh, I judge no man. Listen to these words. Judging after the flesh. He tells us that we judge after the flesh. How many know we're guilty of that? Come on, you know that. Come on. Anybody know that we do that? Oh, well, that guy can't be a Christian. Hey, I was at a Promise Keepers time one time. Promise Keepers convention meeting, yeah. And there was this guy that was standing outside, and he had this spider web tattooed all over his face. Weird, big guy. I don't think anybody would walk up to him and say, hey, man, that's a weird looking thing you got on there, man. But I just so happened to hear him talking. He was a brother. And he was talking about how excited he was to be there and how much God had changed his life. I would have never guessed it. How many know that? Because we do that, isn't that right? We look after the outside appearance, where God looks on the heart. Is that right? Come on. Can I tell you, we need to quit doing that? We need to quit looking on the outside. We need to start saying, Lord, would you just help me to understand what's going on in their heart so that I can maybe minister to them? Is that right? The body of Christ needs to do that, because Christ is in you, and he will reveal things to you if you will just say, if your heart goes out to those that are lost and you don't make your own assessment of somebody. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, you judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone. I and the Father that sent me. Here Jesus calls God his Father. Is that right? Do you know that he is his Father? Come on. He's the Son of God. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. Jesus is speaking truth. I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me, he bears witness of me. The Father had been bearing witness of him, hadn't he? The healings that have been happening. He fed 5,000 folks. He was doing things that the Pharisees absolutely could not do. Is that right? And they're mad about it. They're upset. They're afraid he's going to take over the nation. Come on. I said, man, you know, their intent in this is to debate with him. And you got to see that he is undebatable. Come on. God is undebatable. You might think when my brother died, I was debating with God. Why? I was telling him all the reasons why my brother shouldn't have died. And he spoke to me. He said, dude, Henry, do you trust me? And when he said that, undebatable. God, I trust you. I know you know what you're doing. I know it. I'm convinced of it. How many are convinced that God knows what he's doing? Amen. For us to have this building,
it's a miracle.
Convinced. It's crazy. Jesus got through saying that I and my Father bears witness of me. Then they said unto him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father, for had you known me, you would have known my Father also. These words spoke Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. Jesus is telling them truth. He's speaking them. He's speaking to them. He's saying, I go my way, and you cannot follow. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? Then he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. How many have Jesus in your heart? Do you know that you are from above? You know that you're from the kingdom of God. Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know that you are not from this world? Is that right? We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Is that what the word of God tells you? It is important to you. Jesus says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. We as the people of God need to be seeking that kingdom that we're from. Is that right? Be going after those things as a kingdom. And then ministering to the world. Is that right? Go there first. There is an order. You guys are back. Great. Praise God. Hallelujah. I would have been over there later on today talking to you guys. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Poor guys. Hallelujah. Verse 22 says, then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said unto you, therefore, that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not, here he comes with truth, that I am, you shall die in your sins. He is saying, speaking truth. Folks, how many of you know we got to believe that Jesus is who he says he is? We have to believe that. This is truth. And then they said unto him, who are you? I like their responses, man. I'll put my own kick on it. Is that right? You want to preach this? You can put your own kick on it. But I'm going to put my own there because who are you? Who you think you are? Who are you? Jesus said, I am even the same that I said to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true. He's talking about who? His Father. I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. They didn't want to understand that. That's something they didn't want to hear. Then Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Isn't that cool? Speaking truth. Jesus always did what the Father pleased him. See, Jesus dwells in you. You have this ability to do all the things that God has for you to do. How many know that? Because he dwells in you. Because he lives in you. So you have this ability because God has placed that ability to do all those things that please him. Isn't that cool? How many want to please God? Man, I want to please God. I want to do those things that will touch his heart, that he asked me to do. And when I do them, he responds. Amen? How many, do you know that God responds? Does he respond?
Yes.
Sometimes you might think he doesn't. You might say, Lord, I got a healing. I need, and it never happens. But I'm going to tell you something. God is a God that will respond. You just wait. Keep waiting. Keep waiting for him. You're going to find that he answers. Is that right? Come on, man. Hallelujah. He that sent me is with me, and the Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed on him. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Here, I like this part because all of a sudden, do you see how people are starting to believe him? They're starting to think, hey, well, he is the one that healed that man that was, you know, that was at the pool of Bethesda or pool of Siloam. And he fed 5,000 with some bread and two fish. This is him. And now they're starting to believe on him. Isn't that cool? How many know it's good to believe in Christ? How many know that it's good that their hearts are being convinced? Is that right? And it says, and he spoke these words, many believed on him. And then Jesus throws something else out. I love it. Then Jesus spoke to those Jews which believed on him. And he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. I like this because I was reading in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy where the word of God says, if you will listen diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God. It says this, this is Deuteronomy 28. If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do his commandments, then all these blessings will come upon you and shall overtake you. See, Jesus is basically saying the same thing. If you keep my word, he's telling them what Deuteronomy was saying. Listen and keep my word. Keep my word. You'll be my disciples. And then he says this to them. He says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now look at your neighbor. Take a look at your neighbor. You look at. Now look at the other neighbor on the other side, if there is one. Yeah. That's what they began to do. They began to look at each other. And this is what they said. I think it ticked them off. Just the way the word. They answered him, we're Abraham's seed. You don't know who we are. We're Abraham's seed. He says, and we were never in bondage to any man. How do you say that you shall be made free? These folks are proud about who they were. Amen. Is that right? Amen. They say, hey, man, we're Abraham's seed. Jesus, get a clue. We are Abraham's seed. Do you know who you're talking to here? Yeah. Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say to you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. Can I tell you this morning? Here's the truth. Everybody say truth. Jesus is, I mean, what I love about this is Jesus is putting truth after truth after truth after truth. Why? Not because he's mad at those guys, because he loves them. Do you understand? Do you understand that he loved them enough to give them the truth that they need to get out of the situation they're at? And he does that the same with us. If you're sinning, know this. What does it say? He that commits sin is a servant to it. You don't want to be a servant of sin. Isn't that right? Because the wages of sin is death. It brings you to death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So we need to break away from that because by what Jesus has done for you. And walk and be free. Is that right? Everybody say amen. Come on, that's right. You know that's right. He that commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son, he abides forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Is that right? Freedom. How many want freedom? Freedom to do what I want to do, no? Freedom to do what God has called you to do. Freedom to do. Amen? Jesus tells them, now I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. Is that right? They were plotting to kill him. Because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I've seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. Who's their father? Yeah, come on, man. Yeah. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Come on. I like this. Abraham is our father. They're debating with Jesus. They're telling him, hey, man, we are who we are because of the seed of Abraham. We are Abraham's seed, Jesus. We are Abraham's children. Jesus just got through telling, I know you guys are seed of Abraham. I know that. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. What did Abraham do? Abraham believed God, didn't he? He believed God. He had faith, is that right? It was counted to him as righteousness, is that right? But now you seek to kill me, Jesus is saying. Now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham didn't do this. He didn't try killing people. You do the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we be not born of fornication, We have one Father, even God. Now they're getting dirty. Is that right? Now they're getting a little nasty. They're talking to Jesus, whom they said, look, we're the seed of Abraham. We were not born of fornication. Do you know what they're talking about? What are they talking about? What is it they're talking about? They are talking about Jesus' mama. Can I tell you, they knew him. They knew who he was. They were asking, who are you? Who do you think you are? Oh, they knew who he was. 2 years ago, or maybe 3 years ago, I don't know, at the men's retreat, Cesar brought to us a very beautiful story about how kids in the Jewish culture were brought up to be Pharisees. They would look for certain traits, and they would see how smart they were, how much they could calculate, how much they could think ahead. They showed all these things, and what they did was they picked the best of the best to be a Pharisee, because one of these days that best of the best, one of them might be the high priest for God. So they went through this process of weeding them out and finding the best of the best. How Jesus was 12 years old in the temple. Do you remember that? And they were amazed at his wisdom. They were amazed at who he was. They were amazed at the questions he was asking. What they had was the best of the best ever. But because of his mom, because they knew that she was pregnant before she got married. Can I tell you what the Bible says in Isaiah? That he was rejected of men. They rejected him. He was thrown to the side. And now they're bringing this up. Now they're coming after him and say, hey, we weren't born like you were born. And I like Jesus' response, because I don't think Jesus gets excited about anything. How many know that? I think he's cool. Cool, man. I know. Can I tell you, if you knew everybody's heart, wherever they're coming from, you say, hey, calm down. You're good. Isn't that right? Because I believe that you couldn't do that. I don't think you. These guys said, man, we weren't born in fornication. It didn't bother him. He says, I know what you're thinking. Here's his answer to that. Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself. He sent me. He's telling them some truth. He said, man, I came. My mom didn't get pregnant from a man. God sent me to my mom. Then verse 43 says, why don't you understand my speech? I love Jesus asking that. Why don't you understand me? Because you cannot hear my word, he says. You are of your father. Here he springs it on him, the devil. How many know that's going to get him a little excited? They're going to, man, how many are like, man, you child of the devil, boy? You know how many? You ever said that to your kid? Get over here, you little child of the devil. Come here. Get over here, man. I tell you what, when he said that to these Pharisees, these guys are trained. They're the best of the best. And he says, you're of your father, the devil. This is not a way to win somebody's heart. How many know that? But then again, is it? Because it's truth. He tells them this. You're of your father, the devil. The lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Jesus, make sure to me, I see that Jesus is bringing that part up because he knows they are out to kill him. So he right first thing he says, he was a murderer, just like y'all. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar. Who's he talking about? Talking about the devil and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. See, Jesus is telling him truth after truth after truth. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. Therefore, hear them not, because you are not of God. I'll tell you why. These guys are going to get hot. They're getting excited. Then Jesus answered the Jews and said to him, say we not well that you are a Samaritan and you have a devil? See, can I tell you, folks, these guys are attacking him in a public forum. They are attacking him so that everybody around can hear what they are saying about this guy, Jesus. And they're pronouncing these things in front of everybody. See, the devil loves a show. How many know that? He loves it. He wants everybody to know. And these guys are trying to destroy the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he ain't biting. Isn't that cool? He's just cool as a, what's that, a clam? Is that right? Yeah, cool as a cucumber. Come on, man. Larry, the cucumber. Never mind. Big lips, whatever. Hallelujah. And they said to him, say we not well that you are a Samaritan and that you have a devil? Jesus answered, I don't have a devil, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. See, here they were trying to dishonor him in front of all these people. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeks and judges. And then verse 51, another truth coming up. Check out this verse. It says, verily, verily, I say to you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. See, the word of God says, hold on to the word of God. Hold on to the word of God. Hold on to the word of God. Man is as grass, and as a flower of grass, he withers and he falls away. The sun rises and he dies. But then it says, but the word of the Lord endures forever. So if you're a man and you're taking in the word of God, and you're taking in the word of God, you're taking in the word of God, God is strengthening you and building you. There is no way, no way that you can ever see death. It's crazy. These are truths. It's a truth that Jesus is exposing truth. It's crazy. How many everybody say, everybody look at each other and say crazy. This is crazy. Yeah, yeah. You guys knock it off. I'm not that crazy. Hey, I love you guys. Thanks for coming. Appreciate you guys. You're really helping my sermon, really. Usually it's dry. Huh? Come on, man. Hallelujah. He is pouring out truth. Truth. And then he says this, then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead, the prophets are dead, and you say, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. See, they understood what he was saying. And see, sometimes even the church don't get what he's saying. Can I tell you that this morning? Because we've been so programmed with death that we think that it's got to happen. We are inevitably headed that way. And the word of God says, there's a day coming that I am going to break your covenant. I'm going to annul the covenant that you've made with death, because life will overtake death. And that's when we begin to sing, oh grave, where is thy sting? Oh death, where is thy victory? Because there is no victory in death. There is no sting in the grave anymore, because Christ rose from the grave. Is that right? Come on. And that's okay. You think I'm crazy? Wait till you see me later. Come on, man. I'm telling you the truth. Is this my word? This is God's word. These guys understood what he was saying, and they said, hey, are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you think you are? Who makest thou thyself, is what he says. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Ye have not known him, but I know him. Jesus is giving them truth. You don't know him, but I know him. And if I should say that I don't know him, I would be a liar like you. See that? Jesus is telling them cool truth, man. I can't lie. I absolutely cannot lie. Whether you want me to, doesn't matter, because I cannot lie. I won't lie. But I know him and I keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Jesus now is referring to what they say, this is our father. He said, I'm going to refer to your father now. And he saw my day. You see, there was a day when your dad, your great, 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 great grandfather tied his son Isaac, bound him, tied him up, brought him over to a homemade altar that had wood on it, and laid his son on the altar and went to take his knife to kill his son. And Jesus says, Abraham saw me, because he heard a voice that said, Abraham, Lay not thy hand upon the child. And Abraham stopped, turned, and he looked where the voice was, and he said, there I saw a lamb caught in a thicket. You guys get it? See, Jesus was caught on a tree, and he was the Lamb of God. And Jesus is telling him, your father saw my day. Woo, come on. Come on. Your father saw me. You can't deny that. And he was glad. How many know Abraham was, woo, don't have to kill my son. Praise God. Sarah will let me back in the house. Woo. He was glad to see what Christ had done. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old. See, they're looking on the outside, aren't they? And you've seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Right there, those are fighting words. Before Abraham was, I am. You know, you put so much stock in your father Abraham. But let me tell you something. Before he was, I was. This is what Jesus was saying. They're going, what? They just could not hear what Jesus was saying to them. Amen? Verse 59 says, and they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Truth after truth after truth after truth, Jesus poured upon these guys. Got one more truth to give you. John chapter 3, verse 17. Oh, no, I'm sorry. John chapter 19, verses 1 through 16. Not done yet. Everybody say, not done yet. Come on. Hey, man, it's not even 1 o'clock yet. So we're going to be good. We're almost there. Amen. Hallelujah. This is Jesus standing in front of Pilate. First, he was before those guys, and he was giving truth after truth. Jesus standing before Pilate, knowing that he has to go to the cross, knowing that Pilate has already, his wife has already warned him, say, man, have nothing to do with this just man, because I've suffered many things in a dream that I saw about him. Pilate, don't do anything to him. She's been warning him. And let me get there. John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Here's Jesus. Then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. And said, hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. And Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, behold, I bring him out. I bring him before you, forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Pilate himself saying, I don't find any fault. Pilate was in, as far as in the natural compared to the spiritual, Pilate was doing the work of a high priest in this natural setting. Do you know that? Do you know that the high priest, when they would cut the lambs, the high priest would go and look and say, well, there's no fault in that lamb. You can use it for a sacrifice. Here, Pilate is saying, there's no fault in this guy. I don't find anything wrong with him. He's clean. Is that right? Should be no conviction. Is that right? But not with these guys. He said, he's clean. Jesus came forth wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, behold the man. And the chief priests therefore and the officers with him, they cried out saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, you take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. But Jesus answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself to be the Son of God. Uh-oh. Pilate says, what? When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and he went into the judgment hall and said to Jesus, where are you from? From whence art thou? Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, speakest thou not to me? Knowest not that I have power to crucify thee and power to release thee? Here's the truth. Jesus answered and said, you could have no power at all against me, except it were given to you from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto you hath the greater sin. There is no power on earth that is greater than the power of God. How many know that? Yeah. Jesus even told Pilate, he said, I have come into this world that I might bear witness to the truth. In other words, he was saying, he goes, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What you see in my life is truth. Pilate asked him, or didn't ask him, he just said what I asked Siri. What is truth? Truth is Jesus. Can I tell you that? Jesus is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Would you stand? I got one more scripture. John chapter 3, verse 17. The Word of God says this. This is the truth. Jesus was speaking this. It was right after he had talked to Nicodemus, and he had the scripture before this, everybody knows, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But whosoever believeth in him will not what?
Perish,
but have what?
Everlasting.
How long is everlasting life? When does it start?
Now.
It starts right now. It doesn't start when you die. It starts right now, everlasting life. And then verse 17, this is a verse right after. It says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, God's not, Jesus is not trying to condemn you. He's trying to save you. Is that right? He's trying to save us. Is that right? He's trying to remove you from you so he can put him in you. Is that cool? Trying to remove you from you so that he can put him in you. Isn't that cool? Come on. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. Lord, deliver us from us. If you will say that with me, deliver us from us. Continue, Lord, to have mercy on us. And deliver us from us. We want to be like you. Lord, wash me, cleanse me, make me new again. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming this morning. Hug somebody's neck. If you want to pray, if you need prayer, let us know. We are here to pray for you, pray with you. Love you guys. Praise God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.